It's awesome to be back in Stirling. I got to say, my wife likes it in Dundee. I like it in Stirling. So there you go. We're a typical family or husband-wife combination. They say that when you propose, it's one of the most difficult things that you do. Me being me, I thought, nah, be a piece of cake. I'll be cool, calm, collected. I'll just roll through it. The event wasn't as I had planned it. I'm from New Zealand. Jen really enjoyed Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. There's a place in New Zealand called Hobbiton that you can go to, which is where they filmed Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So I highly recommend it if you make it out to New Zealand. And I had it all planned. It was going to be amazing. It was involving tour groups and cameras, and it was just going to be this amazing day. It didn't turn out like that. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to share with you the utter misery and humiliation that was involved in that day. We're going to focus on the positives. The positives were she said yes. There's no alcohol involved. There was no coercion involved. There was no extortion of any kind involved. She said yes, and it was a great day, and she made me a very, very happy man. I want you just to keep that story in the back of your mind as we go into the Word today. If you do have your Bibles, if you turn to Ephesians 6, 19. So we're going to be having a look at the passage where Paul is in jail. He's saying, I'm an ambassador for Christ, even though I'm still in jail. Not sure exactly how that works. But if we look at verse 19, it says Ephesians 6, verses 19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And then verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What strikes me about these two verses is that I've been reflecting on the guy who was in Turkey, the pastor, and then there's another young lady who is in Pakistan at the moment, who's on trial for blasphemy crimes. And I thought, if I'm in that position and I'm in jail, what would I pray for and what would my prayer request be? And verse 19 wouldn't be my prayer request. If you have a look closely at verse 19, Paul asks for two things. Paul asks for a message. So he says, whenever I open my mouth, please give me the right words to say, that the Holy Spirit will help me to say the right words. And he prays for courage. This is the Apostle Paul saying, you know, I need courage to talk about my Christian faith. And so that was a bit of a challenge to me. I'd be praying, I'm Alan, get me out of here. I'm not enjoying my prison experience. But the biblical example is to pray for a message and to pray for courage to actually say that message. And if we skip to verse 20, Paul asks, well, he encourages people to pray for him, and I would like to focus on the end of the passage. So pray for me that I may declare it, so the message, the gospel, as I should. And I'm really struck with that word should. It's a little word in Greek, but it's there, and it's a very important word. And it's as if Paul is saying, this is something that I should be doing. And today we're going to reflect on the whole idea of the gospel. What is it? Should we be sharing it? Paul in verse 20 makes clear that for him it's something that you should be doing, even if you just happen to be in prison. So what is the gospel? Well, the gospel comes from a Greek word, euangelion. And euangelion means good news. It's the root that we get angel from. Angels were just people going around telling news stories. And so that's essentially what it means. It's news that is good, right? That's euangelion, the gospel. From that, we get euangelist, so evangelist. So that's someone who goes out and tells the gospel. We have Paul, the apostles, J. John, Billy Graham, these kind of people that we think of as evangelists. But actually, an evangelist is just someone who's telling a story, just someone who's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we get the third cognate word, which is euangelizo, which is the act of telling the good news of Jesus Christ. So from a biblical point of view, the gospel, the euangelion, is literally the good news. And this fascinates me, because it's not some academic thing, it's not some science theorem, it's not some philosophy, it's nothing like that. It's not an ideology, it's not something that you wrap your head around. It's a news event. It's a news story. That's what the good news is. And that's what I'd like to highlight to you, is that it's something that is able, we have the ability to all share in and partake in. We can all be evangelists, and we can all evangelize, and we can all go out and share the story of good news Christ. Why? Because it's dead simple. You just have to be able to tell a news event. And I've learned that people are very good at telling news events, especially news events that they like. Oh, have you heard about this? Bang, you go and tell the story. The good news of the gospel has a starting point in God. So God the Father creates humanity. He gives humanity the option to be free, which is great, right? So we have free will, and we have the capacity to make moral decisions. What do Adam and Eve do straight away? They don't make very good decisions. And in that moment, sin and death enter the world. And as a result of sin and death, life takes a bit of a strange turn, and we find ourselves where we are today. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means is that there's a place that the Bible calls hell, and that's a place where eternally people who don't make their peace with God and people who don't accept the good news of Jesus Christ will enter. And as a Christian, that is something that we wouldn't wish on our worst enemies, and something that we need to avoid at all costs, but something that we need to include in our gospel message. And you might call that the bad news, because it's not, you know, it's something that we would wish on anyone else, and it's not great, but it is a reality, and it's a reality of who we are and our capacity to make free moral decisions. The euangelion comes in that God doesn't leave us there. So here we are, and sin creates this barrier between us and between us and God. There's almost a thing in the way, and we can't have that relationship with God anymore. So what God does is he sees us and he says, I'm going to have a salvation plan, and my plan involves my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to send him to earth. He's going to become incarnate. That's what the incarnation means, Jesus coming down to earth. He's going to live as a human being. He's going to have all the same capacity as us. He's going to die on the cross. But the amazing thing, and the thing that sets Christianity apart from any other religion, philosophy, science, anywhere, is the resurrection. Our God didn't just stay in the grave. He wasn't crucified. He was crucified, but he didn't just stay there and he didn't die. He rose from the dead. And that, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. That allows us to have hope, meaning, and purpose, and that allows us to enter a place called heaven. Heaven is theologically described as a place where God is, and that's where you want to be. Earth and the way we have to live lives is sometimes a struggle because conflict between evil and good, but ultimately, and the hope that we have is that this place called heaven is going to be amazing, and it's going to be a place where God is. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So when you get your payment from this life and living in sin, that's going to be death. But the gift of God, so his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, is eternal life. And that is the good news of the gospel, in a nutshell. So we've got this good news, we've got the gospel. Why should we share it? First point, I'd like to share with you 3 points of why I think you should go and share the gospel. The first point is, you should want to do it. You should just want to do it. The way that God will come into your life and change your life and transform your life is like nothing I've seen in this life. I've been on planet Earth 39 years. I know it's hard to believe. But seeing that transformation and seeing what God has done in my life, I just naturally go and tell people. I can't help myself. I just go and I share the good news, and I share what happens. And I think that should be our almost natural reaction. And quite often what will happen is that when you profess a faith in Jesus Christ and your life change, people will see that and people will notice it. And that will be your end to talk about it and share your faith. Second reason I think why we should share the gospel is that it's biblical. Here we have Ephesians 6, 19, 20. Instead of moaning about your lot in life, saying I'm in jail, this is terrible. I mean, how do you react to adverse situations? I don't react that well to adverse situations often, and it's a challenge for me. But that's the biblical mandate for us, is to go out and share our faith. I think very clearly of the words of Jesus just before he gets whisked away to heaven. So he's come down, he's done his job, he's been raised to life, and it's incredible. And he's had this group of outstanding individuals, huge ability, the disciples, and he's imparting them with his final words of wisdom, and he's got to keep it simple, because this is the disciples, obviously. And he says to them, guys, you've got to go out. This is called the Great Commission. Go out and tell people about me and baptize them. That's what you've got to do. Evangelize and baptize people. That's the Great Commission. And the words of anyone just before they go off somewhere for a very long time, in Christ's case, a very long time, they're super significant and super important. So the Great Commission and other passages in the Bible are very clear that we should be out there and sharing our faith. And the third reason I think that we should share our faith is that we should be fearless. I don't know what you think when the topic of evangelism comes up, and specifically you. How do you feel about getting out there or even broaching the topic with your friends and colleagues? We'll get onto that in a bit. But my feeling is that we should be fearless in it. We shouldn't worry about it. It should just be something that comes off quite powerfully. Why? Well, I would like to invite you to engage in this thought experiment with me. I shared the story of me proposing to my wife, and she said yes.
Yes.
Well, now I want you to try and deconstruct that. I want you to try and disagree with it. I want you to try and do what a lot of people think that they do to the gospel. Try and do it. Try and think about it. Okay, this guy's telling us that his wife said yes and he's married, but I think I can use modal logic to sneak in and deconstruct his argument. Or there's a scientific theorem that I've heard about that I think will get in and just destroy his argument. It's very hard to do. It's very, very hard to do. This is a piece of news. It's a news event. It's something that happened. Period. It's happened. And it's very hard for anyone to argue against it. I used to work as a youth pastor, and I would tell my team to go and share their stories, to share the gospel, and to tell your story of the gospel. Why do you do that? Because no one can argue with it. It's your story. You take ownership of it, and you can just go out and powerfully share your story and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's very difficult for someone to argue against the particular facts and the actual story. There's more that we could get into on the interpretation side, but we'll just focus on the euangelion for this morning. Well, culture in Scotland is an interesting place, and indeed in the rest of the world. I'd like to share with you a couple of examples this morning and try and understand a bit better what culture is and where we're at and what on earth is happening. The first example I'm going to share with you is an article that was in the New York Post recently, and it's by a guy called Jonathan Merritt. And the article's title is "It's Getting Harder and Harder to Talk About God These Days." I don't know if you've noticed this. So he commissioned a group called the Barna Group to go out and do some research. This is in America, that the research was done. But it's broadly similar to Scotland. I would say Scotland is a bit more advanced or progressed, whether that's a good or bad thing. It's up to you, I suppose. So this research was asking people about, talking about their faith, talking about the gospel. Do you do it? If not, why not? So 3/4 of respondents didn't have any spiritual conversations. 3/4, that's a lot. Only 7% talk about, you know, Christian or religious things regularly. So me being me, I thought, well, that's fine. You know, the average punter, they're not going to do it. They'll talk about Brexit or football. I don't know. What about churchgoers? What about people in the pews? Surely they'll be out there all day, every day. Well, you might be surprised to know that amongst churchgoers, 13% had a spiritual conversation about once a week. 13%. And why is this? Why is it so hard to go out and talk about religious things? Just broadly. I don't even worry about the good news of Jesus Christ. Just in general, talk about religion. These are some of the reasons that were given. Media, social media, and politics don't present a positive view. Conversations might cause tension or arguments. People don't want to appear religious. They don't want to sound weird. And the last one, they don't want to sound extremist. Those are some of the reasons given why people don't want to go and talk about religion. So that was very interesting, and that's the bit of a flavor of where we are in our culture. And the second example I'd like to share with you is some research done by that same group, the Barna Group. It was the biggest piece of research that has been commissioned in the UK to date. And this time they asked non-Christians for their perceptions of evangelists, for evangelical Christians. I remember the first time that I heard this, and I just... sirens going off, that, oh boy, here we go, all my days. I don't know if you've had the blessing of seeing an advertisement that is currently doing the rounds. This advertisement was commissioned by a government and has been pushed by Police Scotland. And this advertisement is done in biblical or archaic language that you might expect to find in holy texts or something like this. And this advertisement says the following. It says, "Dear bigots, you can't spread your religious hate here. End of sermon." That's an actual advert that's currently doing the rounds. "Dear bigots, you can't spread your religious hate here. End of sermon." So I've been reflecting on that as I prepare my sermon this week. What am I actually doing here? But I think that's the level of you know, where we are and what certainly a lot of the powers that be and pressures and pressure groups, media, social media, that sort of thing, they're creating this kind of an environment where a certain group can be targeted in that way. But anyway, what would you think if people asked non-Christians about you? You might be surprised to find that the results of this survey. The majority of non-Christians think of Christians in the following ways: friendly, caring, good-humored, generous, helpful. Isn't that amazing? That's none of what I thought. I was thinking, yeah, bigot, homophobic, you name it. A long list. None of that. That is how people think from the survey. I'd encourage you to go and check out the survey. It's on the Evangelical Alliance website. The final interesting thing that the survey said was that a significant of people were open to learning more about the gospel. Significant amount of people open to learning more about the good news of Jesus Christ. So my takeaway from this is that you have a group of people that are ignorant of the good news of Jesus Christ, but are open to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. I work for an organization called Solus. Solus means light in Gaelic. It's not Gaelic, as my wife told me a few years ago. It's Gaelic, say it like you're Scottish. and we go around and we do evangelism and we encourage and equip churches to get better at having conversations about Christianity, because don't worry, a lot of people that we talk to don't want to talk about faith, or they really struggle in evangelism, they forget about that. And that's what we see up and down the country, the situation where Christians are almost in the situation that the disciples were in once Jesus died, but they'd locked themselves in a room and were huddling around going, oh, what's going on here? What do we do now? And then you have society as a whole, which, yeah, some elements, some quite loud elements are quite vocal and anti, but by and large, people are just ignorant. Ignorant but open to hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ. So can you see how we might be able to find a middle way in between these two things that we see? I'd like to share with you this morning just a few stories about what we do and what I've personally seen here in Scotland. We were preaching at a big we did a debate at a big university recently, and we took a different view to what you normally hear in our liberal institutions. And the place was packed out. It was the biggest event they'd ever done. And the Chancellor came up to us afterwards and said, what's your guys' secret? We would love to be able to get all these people in and pack them out. And we didn't really know what to say. We just go around and tell the good news. And there, what we're saying is there is scope to have these conversations in Scotland in the year 2018 and even in our higher education institutions. It's not all roses. I was thinking on the way up, driving through the pouring rain, tired after being woken up by the baby. It's not all fun and games. I told someone about what I did for a job, and they mumbled something under their breath and just walked away from me. And so you might get that every now and then, but what I find is that in my normal day, I will just share my stories about Christ, and people are very open to it. I do a lot of renovating of houses. I was doing a big reno somewhere and talking with the team, and they worked out that I was a minister, so they joked about stop squaring. But we developed a good rapport with the guys, and I was having a one-on-one with someone, and they were able to share something very deep with me that they hadn't shared with anyone, and it was a big load off of them. And they were very grateful that someone was able to sort of pastorally hear them out. We have giant continental rabbits. If you're looking at getting some pets, these are amazing pets. They get really big. But one of the rabbits broke its leg, and we had to get it fixed, and we had to build a ramp so that the rabbit could safely run up and down the stairs. And the guy that came in to fix our little rabbit run, I got talking to him about heaven and hell. We had an amazing conversation for a few hours about heaven and hell. And not only is this guy very open to hearing about the gospel and hearing me, he always seems to almost find excuses to come and do bits of work for us for free. He has now become a supporter of Solus. So we have recently had a supporters drive to try and sign people up. And it's a hard sell in Scotland. You're asking Scottish people to part with their money and to support religion. And lo and behold, this guy, complete godless guy, bang, supporting me, supporting Solus. So it can be done. It can be done. One of the ways that I think we should go about our evangelism, I'd like to share with you quickly three ways of how we can do that. The first and most important way is prayer and reading the Word. I was really chuffed to hear Rosie talking about prayer and how you guys are focusing on prayer. It's so important. I heard Danielle Strickland, who's one of my favorite apologists, speaking, and she was saying that we need to go out on a daily basis, having read the Word and prayed, so you almost have your antennas up, and if the opportunity to share the gospel presents itself, you'll be a lot more likely to engage with someone and actually maybe talk about God and talk about faith than if you hadn't. And that's the example that we find here in our verse. Even the great Apostle Paul, he needed prayer and he needed courage. He couldn't just go out and do it. He needed the Holy Spirit. He needed help to go out and share the good news. So let's say maybe a little bit excited and motivated. Yeah, no, I can do this. Evangelism, evangelist. Oh. How do I do this? Well, I'd like to share with you briefly some ideas on the how to do it. The first one is short answers. On our Solus website, we have this thing called short answers. They're videos that you can watch that will take a topic. We did one on our religion, the cause of all wars. And they're very quick, which I like, about 4 minutes. And they'll help you to learn some things and be able to bounce things backwards and forwards with people when they bring up some of these difficult topics. I used to think, I met Andy when he came and talked at an evangelical event in Stirling. I thought, he's not that great, is he? He's all right. He's actually pretty good. He's up to 400,000 views on these short answers. He goes around the world speaking at different bits and pieces, so I would recommend those to you. They're a really good resource, and we hear a lot from people around Scotland, especially with youth groups and young people and students, that found them really beneficial. So that's the first thing, our short answers. The second thing, we are doing an event shortly called Confident Christianity. It's going to be in Dundee, which is where everything is happening these days. The V&A, Dundee's on the up. I would encourage you to come along to that. We had some flyers that we've put out, so you might find a flyer or you can pick up a flyer. There's four very good speakers that will be coming along. Andy will be there. One of his topics will be how to talk about your faith without looking like an idiot. I joke with Andy, mate, that's hard for you because you just look like an idiot anyway. Another speaker is Mark Sterling. Mark is at Cornerstone in St. Andrews. He's very big on discipleship. One of his topics will to be on that, on discipleship. He's well worth hearing. Another young lady who's coming up is called Sharon Dirks, who is great. I heard her speak at a conference recently, and she is brilliant. And she will be speaking on a range of topics, one of which is suffering. Suffering is a really important topic. The fourth guy who's speaking is a guy called Ben Thomas. He is a doctor down in Southampton who struggles with same-sex attractiveness. And he's going to do two talks, mainly focusing on how do you even go about navigating that minefield and talking with your non-Christian friends about a very important topic. So those will be four of the speakers who will speak. And what we try and do is equip you guys. And the idea is that if you come along and you listen, you'll be a lot more confident when you're engaging with people in your communities and your friends. And the third event is local. It's called the Kilted Kangaroo Outreach. What we find is that, let's say you're able to talk with your friends about faith. They get a bit interested and excited about faith. It's hard to invite people along to church. But what you can do is invite them along to your local or invite them along to a coffee shop. Say if someone's going to speak, we'll get some food. We'll have a drink. And yeah, it's a low-key, relaxed environment. And SBC are organizing an outreach event. The format is amazing. It works really well. I think Andy is going to be speaking on happiness. And everyone wants to be happy. It's an easy sell. You're not trying to ask people in Scotland for their money. You're not trying to push religion. You just want to say, do you want to be happy? Yeah, everyone wants to be happy. Come along to the Kilted Kangaroo. Have a quiet Diet Iron Brew and some fish and chips and listen to someone about happiness. Q&A, Andy's very good at the Q&A, and I think that's the sell for people, is that you'll be able to directly ask Dr. Andy about these things. And so I'd recommend that event. I'm not sure of the exact details, but we'll be able to get those to you. So those three things on the how to do evangelism, I would heartily recommend to you guys. So to sum it all up, it's simply a news story. That's all it is. And it's something that we can all do. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not just for J. John to do at the Arsenal football stadium. It's not for Alan to do. It's not for my boss to do. It's something that you can all do, and we should all be doing. One of my favorite artists has a line that says, if Christ is truly raised to life, this news should change your life. Christ is truly raised to life. This news should change your life. And it shouldn't just change your life. It should change other people's life. You should be so buzzing and excited about the good news of Jesus Christ that you should be going out and sharing that with people in Scotland, because it's a message that Scotland dearly needs to hear. Should we pray? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how he was such an ambassador for you. We thank you that even thousands of years later, we still have the opportunity and the option to share the good news, God, in Scotland in the year 2018. People are hungry for it. And I just pray for people that they might have the willingness and the desire to do just that, and then also the confidence and to be able to resource themselves and equip themselves and to get excited about going around sharing the good news. God, we thank you, and we pray for a good week this week. In Jesus' name, amen.